Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 9. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Because I ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein." I'm going to pause right here. Isn't it nice that God, you know, you've got these Levites that have gone away and sinned, but God still says, "I'm going to forgive them, and they're not going to be able to do what they could have been able to do, but I'm still going to use them." You know, isn't it a blessing? I know, you know, there's times in my life I've not done what I should have. But God doesn't say, "Well, you know, that was your only chance. You're not able," you know, there are things that you're not able to do because of choices we make. But there's still a spot. There's still a place. And that's just a blessing. Verse number 15. "But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And when they go forth into the utter court, even into the utter court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in a controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother, or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that hath had no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord God. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all, the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to church, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for how it teaches us things, how it shows us things. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this morning, it's nothing new for the folks here. But God, I pray that you just guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray that you bless those who aren't able to be here. I've seen several missing, and Lord, I pray that you just be with them. Help the prayer request, Lord. Everyone, whether they'll say so or not, has something that they carry, a burden that they carry, or family member, or something, Lord. And God, I pray that you would just look on their hearts, and Lord, just just show yourself strong on the behalf of everyone here this morning. Help Pastor as he preaches this morning. Thank you for his vision and the stand for the flag Sunday. Thank you for all the work and those that have decorated in the auditorium here. And thank you for that and just the work that's gone into the preparation. And Lord, thank you for that. Pray that you just bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Ezekiel. The verse we're going to pull out of is Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. But as you notice in Ezekiel chapter 44, starting at verse number 9, it talked about the priest. And it basically divides the priest into two different categories. There's the priest that went astray after the idols, and they ministered to the idols. And we saw that first of all. And then we have the priest, the priest, the Levites, verse number 15, the sons of Zadok. And these sons of Zadok were the ones that didn't stray away from God. These were the ones that still served God. They were the ones that honored God with what they were doing, with what they were teaching. And because of that, God gives them a special position as far as offering the sacrifices. And then in verse number 23 is where we're going to pull what we're going to talk about this morning. But the Bible says in Ezekiel 44:23, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." And we're going to look at that word discern in verse number 40 or verse number 23. Now, most people, discern is a word that we use today, okay? And we use the word discern, discernment. And that word basically means to tell apart, to tell the difference, okay? And so God says in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23, "They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Now, this is something that we've, as a lot of Christians, we've started to stray away from being able to properly discern things. And I'm going to talk about this morning because this is so important that we know how to discern. Because listen, we can't teach, you know, as senior saints and as older folks in the church, you can't teach the younger generation the difference between good and evil if we can't discern the difference between good and evil. Does that make sense? All right, so I have to be able, you know, I work with the teenagers, I work with Master's Club, I work with a lot of different groups. So if I am wrong in an area, then I teach something that's wrong in an area, then those kids, you know, they trust me, all right? You know, it's important for pastor, and he does. He studies the Word of God, but it's important for a pastor to stand and teach the Word of God, okay? But how can he teach the Word of God? You know, we trust him, which is right. That's right and good. It's not that, you know, pastor would say, you know, for any of us to take your Bible and to study exactly what he studies, okay? I'm thankful for this. Pastor doesn't, he references the Greek and Hebrew sometimes, but it's not like he teaches out of Greek and Hebrew. You know why? Because honestly, I don't understand Greek and Hebrew. I didn't even take it in college, okay? You know, my Greek, you know, the best I can do, and you know, some people would crucify me for saying this. Well, if you don't know the Greek and Hebrew, you really don't understand the Word of God. No, I don't believe that. I believe that the Bible that you have been given is what God wants you to have to understand Him. Okay? He didn't expect me to have to, you know, that's the whole thing about so let's say, for instance, there are some religions that you're only allowed, they don't want you to read the Bible. They don't want you to understand the Bible for yourself. Because why? Because they want to impose their opinion on you. Okay? There are religions out there, religions that do that. But that's not what a Bible believer is. I just have to say, we were visiting, we hit the whole town of Westphalia yesterday. It's down in my section. And it doesn't take real long to hit Westphalia. It's two blocks either direction. That's about it. But we are in the town of Westphalia, and we come across this guy, and I have honestly never heard this my whole life. I've heard a lot of things, okay? But he comes to the door and he starts talking. He starts using all these fancy terms for God, okay? Now, I recognize some of them, but he was insistent on this one thing, and Brother Joe, I've never heard this before, and you may have, but he was insistent on calling Jesus Emmanuel, okay? And he said, any other name, if you call him any other name, you're wrong. That's not what the Bible calls him. And I'm like, what? You know, and I wanted to take him to all these places in the Bible that, you know, he's called another name. And he's like, well, that's not right. He's like, that's where your Bible's wrong. I'm like, oh, okay, so what, you know, and I didn't even ask him. At that point, you know, he's one of those people you really can't argue with and you really can't reason with. So I'm just wasting my time at this point. But so he was like, well, let me show you. And he had this, I don't even know what it was called. It was a messianic, it was some kind of Bible that was it was interpreted from the Torah by a messianic Jew, okay? And that's where all this, and he kept referring to the original manuscripts. And, you know, there are no original manuscripts that they can study anymore, okay? So he pulls out this Bible and he starts showing it to me. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, at this point, I'm just trying to get away. Right, okay, yes, you're right, absolutely. You know, whatever you say, you know. And he's trying to show me all this. And then he said, this is what cracked me up. You know, this is his Bible that he believes. And then he said, but they got this one wrong too. I'm like, really? They got that one wrong too. So what, so he's right. Regardless, he's right. And every Bible that he would pick up, there's something wrong in it, but he's right. And I told him before I left, my wife, at some point I was just kind of fed up. And I said, well, you can stand before the judgment seat, and we'll stand before the judgment seat together. And I guess we'll just stand there and we'll find out who's right. You know, because honestly, that's where he's going to believe those lies the rest of his life. As indoctrinated, I don't know where he got the whole thing about Emmanuel. But, you know, and I understand in Isaiah, you know, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And he's like, that's a command. I'm like, well, I thought an angel told Joseph that he was supposed to call his name Jesus. Well, that's in the Greek. That's not applicable to us. I'm like, oh, okay. But where does that all start? Well, it doesn't start on a huge scale. And this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. It's being able to tell the difference. Because if you don't believe the Bible, and you know, that's what God's given you the Bible for, okay? I'm not, you know, whoever wrote that interpretation, his interpretation of the Bible, you know, they put their opinion in on it. I guarantee it. All right? It was a copyright. You know, the King James Bible is not copyrighted. It's not. All right? His is copyrighted. Why? Because somebody's trying to make money and somebody wants their opinion, okay? But, as a Christian, I need to be able to discern the right from the wrong. And if I can't discern the right from the wrong, I'm not going to be able to properly teach the right from the wrong, okay? And I'm going to show you this morning. So first of all, you must be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. And you must be able to discern right from wrong to teach right from wrong. Okay, if you remember the Bible, let's go to 1 Kings. I'm going to show you this. I didn't write the reference down, so I will try to find it quickly. 1 Kings chapter 3. All right, 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse number 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to come to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people. Now listen to this, that I may discern between good and bad? For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. Now, what did Saul, according to the Bible, what did Solomon actually ask God for? Okay? An understanding heart and the ability to discern between good and bad. That's what Solomon asked God for. Okay? Now, generally we say Solomon asked for wisdom. Okay? And that's, I could say that would be wisdom. Okay? I don't think that's wrong to say Solomon asked for wisdom. You see in the next verse 11, "And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall after thee shall any arise like unto thee." What is this wisdom here? Well, Solomon said, "God, I need to be able to properly distinguish between good and bad. Because if I can properly distinguish what's good and what's bad, then I can make a proper decision based on my discernment." Does that make sense? So if we can, as Christians, if we can understand the difference between the good and the bad, then I can properly understand and I can properly make the right decision on, is this good or is this bad? Well, Brother Chad, isn't there a lot of gray area? No, there's not as much as what most people want to make believe that there is, okay? There's really not as much, okay? But where did all this gray area come from? All right, I'm going to show you. I like illustrations. All right, I'm going to show you this morning, okay? I was going to cut pieces of wood, but paper's cheaper, so I just did pieces of paper, all right? I've got two pieces of paper here, all right? And you say, "Brother Chad, how do we get to where we're not discerning what's good and what's bad?" Okay? I've got two pieces of paper here. I can interchange them. It doesn't matter which one, okay, is in which hand, all right? There's no tricks here. But these two pieces of paper are two different sizes, okay? Now, from your position, you probably not necessarily can tell which one is larger than the other. It's a quarter inch difference, okay? It's a quarter inch difference. That's not a big deal. And where we as Christians start straying from, "Well, Brother Chad, how did we get to here?" It's quarter inch at a time, okay? It's quarter inch at a time. So I've got two pieces of paper here, all right? One is 5 inches, one is 5 1/4, all right? That's how big these pieces of paper are. Now, if I come up here and I said, "All right, here's a 5-inch piece of paper, and here is an 11-inch piece of paper." Now, everybody's like, "Well, Brother Chad, I have great discernment. I can tell you the difference between those two pieces of paper." All right? Good. That's great. And most things when the world gives us this, it's like, "Whoa, that's not right." But when the world gives us this, it's like, "Oh, hang on a second. I really can't tell you which one's larger." Now, some of you, if you've done, Brother Ali might be able to look up here, "Well, Brother Chad, that one's larger." He's done construction, okay? But the untrained eye, from your distance, I couldn't, okay? I couldn't tell you. Now, I have it written on the back. Because honestly, if I'm holding these two on my hands like this, I wouldn't be able to tell you either. And I'm holding them, okay? But I have it written on the back. So I know which one's bigger. So I've got, these. But if I took it and said, "Okay, let me put these down here. Which one's bigger now?" Now, whether you realize it or not, the larger of these two is a 1/2 inch larger than the first one. But you never would have guessed it, because you can't discern from your position. Well, Brother Chad, how do we discern? How do we make the decision? Okay, here's the thing. From a human standpoint, You can't. From a human perspective, you can't. Okay? It's impossible. And that's where, as a Christian, it's not just you just decide, you do what you think feels right. All right? Because let me just say this, and I've studied the, I'm not a scholar by any means, okay? I'm just the person that teaches Sunday school, all right? But there, your flesh and your spirit are at a constant battle. And if it's something that feels right, it's probably the flesh that's saying, hey, that's okay. You should just go ahead and do that, okay? So, Brother Chad, how do we get from this to this, okay? It's not at, you know, inches at a time. It's quarter inch at a time, okay? So I've got, you know, five. Now this one, okay, it's larger, isn't it? So, but I went from 5 inches to 5.5 inches, okay? And you can see that. But when you go from a quarter inch at a time, it's hard to see. Brother Chad, how do we do this, okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Where do we get our basis of what we determine to be right and wrong? That's the big question, okay? Where do we get the basis for determining what's right and wrong, all right? Listen, if you watch, and I've used this illustration before. I had a block of wood up here one time that was 12 inches long. And if I tell you loud enough and long enough that that block of wood is 14 inches long, you'll believe me. It's proven. It's part of doing psychological stuff. In the POW camps, they would blare things over loudspeakers. And when they blare it long enough, and it's a constant thing, you start believing things that you never would have believed before. You know, okay, you know, the TV, you know what Satan has done with it? I listened to a message by Pastor Robert Ross not too long ago, and he talked about the TV. Okay, and he said, you know what, and I read something like this the other day too, but you know, if the devil could get an instrument into everyone's home that would constantly be telling them a lie all the time, eventually those people will believe that lie. That's the TV. Yes. Not as much the TV as much, I mean, the internet. Everybody carries a lie device in their pocket now. Anything that people want to research. You know, if you go to look for a church, you know where people research it? Online. And so anybody in this community can get online and say anything they want. And then everybody else in the community just says, oh, that must be true. Well, hang on. What are you gauging that on? Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So a couple interesting parallels here. What was the first thing the Bible says the Word of God is like? A sword. What does a sword do? It divides. It separates. It separates the good from the evil. What else does it say it does? It's a discerner. Isn't that what we're talking about, is discerning? And Ezekiel, God said, you guys are going to be, the sons of Zadok, the Levites, are going to be able to discern between what is good and what is evil. Okay? What's the first step? Okay, I can set all these up here, all right? And I can put all these little papers up here. And before long, okay, we've gone an inch of difference. We've gone from 5 inches to 6 inches. But if I held these up individually, you can't tell the difference. Okay? Now, we've lost an inch. In Christianity, what have we given up because of not being able to properly discern between what's right and wrong? Okay? What are we teaching our kids now? That what used to be wrong, this is the standard. Okay? And we have to make sure that, you know, what the Bible says is what's right. Now, what are you saying here? Okay? I use this almost every day of my life, the tape measure. You know, I live and die by what this tape measure says. Okay? And you know what the Bible is for us? It's a tape measure. You know how I can tell the difference between this one and this one? By measuring it. Because this is a standard that I must have. Okay? It's a standard. It's something that guides my life. It's a principle of my life. Okay? And there, the Bible needs to be, it's not about what, you know, I talked to another guy last week. I don't know why I get all these people that want to have conversations about odd things, but I do. And this other guy, he watches a television, and if I said the name of it, most of you would know what I'm talking about. But there again, the preacher speaks 7 different languages, and he really knows his Bible, and he gives it a new meaning. And I'm like, okay. But you know what he's doing? He's taking that guy's word for, okay, this is what's right. All right? Is that really what's right? All right? So you got to use your Bible. Use your Bible. If the Bible says something's wrong, if you have a question and it's a principle of the Bible, why are we straying away from it? You're in Hebrews chapter 4. Right next chapter, Hebrews chapter 5. Here's the second thing. So the Bible gives discernment. Here's the second thing. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 14. Well, let's jump back to verse number 12. Let's read that whole part there. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So there again, verse 13 is talking about the word of God, okay? Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that's very interesting. I thought that was fascinating, because in the context of what I was studying, okay, God, the Bible says, you know how you discern between, it's not just this, a topic comes up and you're like, oh, I never thought about that before. Let me go to my Bible and let me see what it says. Okay? Now, I'm for that. Something comes up and it's something you have never heard of before. And here's where the difference is between this class and the classes that are meeting below us, the teenage classes. Okay? You know, honestly, the teenagers, when they come and they hear something, to them it may be the first time they've ever heard it. And they're like, oh man, I should go look in my Bible to see if that's true. Now, are they doing what's right as far as going to the Bible to see is this 5 inches? Is this 5 inches? Is this? Yes, they're doing what's right. Okay? But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what is that saying, Brother Chad? By using it all the time, you're able to, without even, honestly, almost without even going to the Word of God, but you have to be so well-versed. And I'm not just talking about, well, I have to study this and this and this and this. You know, I've heard this, Miss Angela, and I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that bank tellers, when they're training them to look for this is what I've heard. When they're training to look for counterfeit money, they don't give them counterfeit money. They just give them the right thing all the time. And then when their hands touch something that's counterfeit, there's just something that's not right about it. What is that? That's a use. My mom and dad got me a Ruger 10/22 when I was growing up, okay? The best 20, in my opinion, and I think it's arguably, not just my opinion, but the best 22 rifle ever made. I mean, but I have put, and I'm not exaggerating, I bet I've put 10,000 rounds to that gun. I mean, I would shoot it all the time, okay? Well, the magazine holds 10 rounds, okay? And this is, I don't know, the God's created the human body. Me and Brother Jeff, and I'll give you this illustration next, but I could get in a box. 550 rounds is what comes in a box, okay? I could stick my hand in a box and pull out 10 shells 9 out of 10 times. I know what it felt like. I could stick my hand in a box, pull out 10 shells, load the clip. 9 out of 10 times, I had nothing left over. That's what I had, 10 shots. Okay, why is that? Because I used it all the time. I used it all the time. You know, if you're not daily in the Word of God, things are going to become foreign. Things are going to be like, huh, I don't know. Is that 5? Or is it 5 1/4? But if you do it all the time, it's like, oh, that's 5. Brother Chad Robinson, he was here with the thing. And I don't know how I got started doing it, but he just kind of always asked me to do it. And I don't really know why, but I run the cutter thing, the thing that cuts all the books, all right? Well, in theory, everyone's supposed to put 10 books together and put them in these little wooden containers. Those of you there know what I'm talking about, okay? They're supposed to put them in the wooden containers. And they alternate, 10 books, okay? Because that's what I cut when I cut them. But, you know, everybody's talking and, you know, doing whatever, and they're running the staplers. So inevitably, you'll have one that's got 8, or you'll have one that's got, you know, 11. And, you know, I can, you know, by the time you go through, we did 15,000 books in the last 2 days, okay? And by the time you get to about 1,000 books, I can tell you when I grab a stack, if it's got too many or too few, or if it's got the right amount, by just grabbing the stack. Why? Because it's something I've done so much. It's by reason of use, I can discern between what's right and what's wrong. And as Christians, it's our duty, especially as older and as those that teach the younger generation, if I'm not well-versed, and I'm not saying that, you know, if a young person comes up to me and says, Brother Chad, what about this? You know, there's just times I'm going to be like, I'll have to get back with you on that. Let me find out for you. And I'll look at it and I'll research it and I'll find out for you. But a lot of the times, you know, it's not necessarily a verse that I can go to and say, this is why you shouldn't do that. It's a Bible principle that permeates the whole Bible. And so if I know what the principles of the Bible are, when I pick it up and I say, this isn't the full truth, or this is an exaggeration of the truth, okay? When I pick up that bundle of books, this isn't the full 10, or this is more than 10. And I can, you know what I do when I pick them up? I pick them up and something doesn't feel right. And so do you know what I do? I count them. I don't just assume things. I still count them, okay? But something wasn't right. Something didn't feel right. And when I picked it up, you know what? You know, the things that you listen to. I've got relatives that they've got the little TV on their the kitchen counter, and it is on. I think it's on 24/7. I've never been in their house when that TV isn't on, and it's always got Fox News on it. Well, that's the good news station. You realize that they do tell lies too. Okay, I was reading the newspaper the other day. You know, the Judge Kavanaugh that they're trying to get nominated, which I think, I mean, if you haven't contacted your senator and everything, you ought to contact him, all right? Because last time I heard, he was kind of wishy-washy anyway. But, you know, they're trying to pull up all this stuff about Kavanaugh, okay? And, you know, it's like he was accused of some crime back in high school, okay? I don't know if you saw that in the newspaper. But he was accused of that. Well, you know what most of society does? Well, there you go. Surely whoever said that was, you know, they were telling the truth. So you're just going to believe that this is 5 inches. No, that's, you're believing this is 5 inches. No, you know what we do as Christians? If you're a seasoned Christian, you take the Word of God, you take the principles of God's Word, and you decide, you know, what comes in your eye gates and what comes in your ear gates, okay, is not all truth. What you read on the internet is not all truth, okay? You know that guy that I talked about that with the name Emmanuel, okay? At some point, he was just reading something and, that just makes sense. No, he didn't rightly divide the word of God. And as Christians, we need to be able to not only go to the Bible, but by reason of use, by the experience of your life, be able to say, tell a young person, hey, this isn't what's right. And let me tell you why this isn't what's right. Or you should do this, and here's a reason that you should do this. Okay? And those things. Let's go to Matthew. We got just a couple minutes. I want to go to Matthew chapter 23. So we got to use the Word of God as our final authority. You know, my tape measure, when I'm measuring something, all right, when I'm framing a house, I know Brother Bo. I worked for Brother Bo Eichelman, and he was a machinist, okay? And when he framed a house, Miss Tanya, it was like, it had to be within a third. Chad's got to go a 32nd this direction. Hey, if I'm framing something, I'm real happy with, you know, an eighth of an inch, okay? I mean, I'm tickled pink if something's an eighth of an inch within square, okay? That's just me. It's got to go a 32nd this way, okay? you know, there you got to understand that, all right? But there, you know, you got to be able to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong, okay? Matthew chapter 23, and I'm just going to reference this and we'll let you go. Matthew chapter 23, wasn't in chapter 23, verse 24. Bible says, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And I'm not going to read that whole thing, but the term there is interesting. Blind guide. You know, as Christians, as older Christians, you're a guide. And it would be very detrimental if we're blind guides. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, hang on. It's not about what I see. It's about what this sees. Okay? And I have to make sure that I have my life based upon the Word of God, not just my personal opinion. Okay? So make sure, as Christians, let's make sure that we, as we're trying to teach others the difference between right and wrong, that we're properly discerning the difference between right and wrong. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson that you've helped us with. And God, I pray that we wouldn't just accept everything that the world tells us, that the devil tells us being true or false. But Lord, help us to run it through the filter of God's Word. Help us to be well-versed. Help us to be exercised by use in your Word. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to discern between what's right and wrong and be able to pass it to the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen.